A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to another exciting episode of Pappy's Flatshare Beef Brothers Cold Cuts. Tom, that was next level.
Thanks, man.
I felt like I was in a super club in Ibiza.
That's the feeling, that's the vibe I was throwing out, boy.
Well, it's the perfect vibe for our guest, Jos Norris.
Party boy Jos Norris.
Brilliant. Birthday party boy, Jos Norris, a fantastic comedian. If you ever get a chance to see Jos, I think he's absolutely brilliant. He's great. Yeah. And do follow him online if you can, because he does some very funny stuff on the internet. He's a great guy. And we had a great time chatting to him. If you like Jos, by the way, then join the Patreon, because you'll get a bonus beef that we solved with Jos that's not in the main episode.
Absolutely.
It was a good one.
And a very entertaining chat about the movie Swordfish, which no one was expecting. So that's to enjoy over at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. And you get that, you know, if you over at patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare. And it's also the home of nearly 200 bonus episodes. Look, that you get immediately as soon as you join.
Guys,
and bonus episodes.
If you enjoy what we put out on the main feed, there's a little secret we probably haven't told you, but at the end of every week, we stick out an extra podcast just for the Patreon. And oh boy, what a feast for the ear canals it is. So if you enjoy what we do and you've got a little bit of time left in your podcast schedule, then for £4 a month, you get the extra podcast, you get loads of extra content, you get strong vibes, you get to send us emails.
I was hoping you'd sign off for that, Tom. Yeah, because that's exactly what it needed. That's the problem. When we big up the Patreon, we don't have enough klaxons in it.
Exactly.
It's a real shame. Also, as well, we're going to be doing the only live Flatshare Slamdown of the summer at the Phoenix in Cavendish Square on the 7th of June, 2022. It's almost sold out, so you want to get a move on. If you're thinking of coming to this on the 7th of June, day after Clarkie's birthday, get yourself to eventbrite.co.uk and look for tickets for Flatshare Slamdown. And the guests are the superb Helen Bauer and the equally superb Nina Conti. Two dear friends, two superb comedians.
It's going to be an absolute blast.
I can't wait. It's going to be a really, really fun one. And like I say, almost sold out. It may even have sold out by the time this goes out. I hope not for your sake, because I want you to be there.
Me?
I'm talking to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Tom.
Please stop charging me to be there for the records. Yeah. It feels unfair, guys.
It's the only way we're going to make any money out of this, you know? we charge ourselves a grand to perform. And I tell you what, the coffers are looking pretty healthy, I'll say that much. But yeah, it was a grand well spent on today's episode. With the brilliant
Enjoy
John Norris.
This Here episode. We
Well, if you got a problem, don't call it a problem. If you got a problem, call it a beef. If you got a beef, maybe we can help you. Beef from the sorting out your beef.
So, Jos Norris, welcome to the show. Welcome to the podcast, man.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Is it your birthday today?
It was my birthday yesterday.
Right, okay.
So don't worry. There's no pressure or need for any kind. It's done. I've got it all out of my system.
It's fine. It's out. Because I saw on Instagram today, you were sort of posting photographs of yourself celebrating your birthday. I thought,
hang on. Should we go around the group and try and guess what birthday it was and see who's closest?
Okay. Can I guess it was Jos's birthday? I feel like all the clues were there.
Yeah.
To piece it together.
Yeah.
I'm
going to pay a lot Jos's more attention birthday. Than I did.
I didn't leave much mystery in there at all. Yeah.
I mean, this is show business, Parry. I don't know. I mean, one of the bottom rungs of show business, but show business nonetheless. Should we be revealing Jos's age? He might be.
You're right. Maybe I might want to kind of guard that a bit and kind of protect my ability to play kind of teens and urchins and things for a bit longer. I want to pad that out for as long as possible. My urchin years.
You've got to guard your gateway to BBC Three.
Yeah,
you can't
yeah, exactly.
be slamming
yeah,
that
I
door.
Can't have them knowing too much
can't
too
be
soon.
Slamming that door shut today.
Should okay. we guess your playing age then instead?
Oh yeah, okay. Yeah,
I gotta say, fair. 18 to 40.
Ooh. Wow,
yeah,
that's
wild. That's huge. Yeah, really, Clark is really hedging his bets.
I would just say non-committal. I would say that.
I'll just play any
is
guy.
Is a playing age a human
age.
Male?
A human, yeah. I'll do anything. I'll do whatever they ask me to do. I can put talc in my hair.
Or a talc on your bottom. You can play a baby.
Yeah. All ends. Yeah.
He was cast astride a grave. I don't think you could put Nozzer into the playing age of 40, could you?
I don't think I could do 18 either. I think those days
I'm
are gone.
I'm going 25 to 35.
That's kind.
I'm hedging him in.
Thanks.
It's good. It's good.
I appreciate that.
It's just he's getting less roles now, is that? That's all, Tom.
Yeah. yours was really generous. It was really nice. You really believed in my future.
Clarkie would be a really positive agent, but a really useless agent.
I'd be an agent.
Unwise.
If we're really narrowing it down, I'm going to say 37 to 37 and a half is what I'm saying. That's his playing age, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I feel quite sad about that. It's so narrow. You've got really no faith in my range.
No, I think. What are you, Joss? Are you 30?
I'm 33.
You're 33, right?
Yeah, there we go. It's out. And I think I put as my range. I think I put 26 to 36. And I thought about putting 25 to 35, but I thought 25. I've met 25-year-olds, and they're young.
Yeah,
they're very young. So I thought I'll nudge myself up. I think that feels more honest to who I am.
I reckon if you shaved. Efficient. Probably. If you shaved effectively, you could get get that 25.
Wow! Wait a second. Okay. What's he shaving effectively? His eyebrows.
Well, look, my agency. We don't give away our trade secrets. All right.
Parry shaved his entire head effectively.
Yeah. That's all for the roles.
I wiped myself. My playing age was 40. Early doors. Coming straight out of the gun. 26 years old, so my agent, playing age 40, please.
Parry's playing age is the Blue Man Group. That's what he's prepped for. The ambiguous age of the Blue Man Group. Did you have a nice birthday there, Joss? What did you do to celebrate?
I had a lovely birthday. I had a picnic in a park, and then I watched Eurovision. Yeah. And I was so proud. I was really proud. And I called it quite early doors. I watched Sam Ryder's song, and I was telling everyone I met, we're going to do quite well this year. And none of them would hear it. They all said, the political situation won't help us. And I said, listen to the song, because I think it's good enough that it crosses over all those boundaries.
He
was fantastic.
It was great.
Love the guy. Absolutely love the guy. Kept shouting things like, this is history. We're watching history. I drank too much. Really.
I thought you were saying he kept shouting it. I was like, that seems too much.
No, that was just me. That was just me alone in my flat on my birthday shouting, I'm watching real history here. There were friends. There were some friends.
There were.
But I think they were all quite resenting the whole experience. I don't think any of them really were that bothered about it. But it was my birthday. Yeah. I said, we're watching this.
Are most of your birthdays Eurovision? Does that clash happen often?
It's always nearby. So you can usually kind of rely on it as a fallback thing. You can do something Eurovision themed pretty much every year when you have a mid-May birthday.
And is this the first time you've played the This Is History, You're Watching History card? Or is it...
Oh,
is
no,
it,
I do that every year.
Is that
every single year?
Yeah.
Eurovision itself is... It's always, you know, it's always something that has happened. So
I think you...
It's never not
I
true.
I think you and I are quite similar drunks in that respect. I think we'd have a great time if we got drunk together and we'd be like,
This is important.
This matters.
Whatever we're doing right now, this is important.
I spent most of Storms' Glastonbury set shouting that to people around us, and I'm sure nobody wanted me to give
not
that
actually
opinion.
Paying any attention to what's going
cannot,
on stage.
Cannot remember a bit about the performance, but I do remember shouting, this is important.
You remember it was important.
An awful lot, yeah.
Just back to the stage, just bellowing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You were one of about four people facing the same way as Stormzy. You know, the other one was Chris Martin, and he was equally hated by the crowd. That's honestly, just to stand next to Parry when he thinks a big gig is happening is a vibe harshing experience, I would say. I was because if it's not the headlock when he's screaming into your ear about how good the gig is so loud that you can't hear an entire gig, it's I mean, we all remember seeing Jarvis Cocker, I think. You know how, like, in a mosh pit, right, there would be the one guy who's going way too hard and a big circle forms around that one guy who's just flailing around. That was Tom, but instead of flailing arms, it was just words. And he created a big... It was like a big crop circle around him in the field in Latitude. But because you were screaming words. Jarvo, you legend the entire time, which is...
Never a truer word spoken.
Never a truer word yelled.
Are we all okay with Clarky's sentence though? Are we all happy we all survived?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
We all got through it.
Oh, dear. I'm creating my own little podcast circle around me.
So what kind of, right, so you said, obviously, were you in your flat for your...
I would say, yeah, I was in my flat. I shared it with my girlfriend. We moved into it in December-ish, I think, middle of December.
So it's reasonably fresh. We're talking...
Yeah, it's pretty recent.
5.5 months here.
Yeah, yeah.
And how is it, how is that going as a flat share experience?
It's been all right. We've had to unpack a lot because we previously were in a... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's been quite tough. No, we were in another place before that was a bit bigger that was a family member's place, and they were letting us stay there during lockdown, and then eventually went, you have to go now, I'm sick of you being here. But I think because that there was more space there, and my girlfriend used to have an artist studio, so it kind of built up a load of stuff.
Wow.
Which we objectively can't fit into this new flat. So we've had months mostly of just sort of getting rid of stuff. Oh, do any of you guys want like a shard of mirror? we've got to get rid of it.
No, absolutely not.
I don't really know. No, okay. What about a whole mirror?
Yeah, is it a whole mirror that's shaped like a shard? Is this you trying to repackage? Yeah. It's a piece of art.
It's about how you sell. Yeah, do any of you want some glass? Or I've got a large box.
What's in that?
A
box.
Mirror.
Shard of mirror.
7 years bad luck was in the box.
I was trying to do it as a package deal, but people are just saying that's weird. They don't really go together that well. So now I'm trying to sell them separately. Still getting nowhere. But that's been quite fun. So we've mostly just been trying to kind of... I think we had a weird kind of lockdown existence of just existing in a place for a while rather than being like having a home.
Yeah.
And now for the last 5 months we've finally been going, oh, we can make this nice and like do it how we want. So we've had to get rid of some stuff and then go... what do we want to hold on to and how do we make it look nice, that kind of thing. But it's been lovely. It's been really nice.
And do you agree on what to hold on to and what to get rid of?
I think we're both very like sentimental about stuff.
Yeah.
Or I used to be. And I think seeing how much stuff she has made me go, oh, I've got to get better at throwing everything away, because otherwise one of us has to be the one that encourages the other. So I was like, okay, I'll chuck nearly everything. And then it sort of makes things a bit easier. But I think I used to just have so much, mostly wooden shit, just loads of old wooden shit that I'd liberated from like grandparents' houses. Because for some reason I thought that was quite nice and sweet. And then I realised that actually it was just an old piece of wood that they had hanging around. And I thought, oh, I'll remember them. Every time I look at this piece of wood, I'll remember.
You're trying to justify it by screaming at your girlfriend, this is history. We're looking at history here. I'm holding a piece of history.
We've got to have it hanging around.
It's like, yeah, it's a chair leg. Just chuck it out, doesn't it?
So a lot of that's gone. Objects in your house, John.
No, it's all broken stuff. A hurricane came through. And I'm trying to kind of make the most of it. So this is what I own.
What would your girlfriend say you'll like to live with?
I don't know, actually. Now I've started to think about it. I wonder.
Do you want to text her and see what
I really wonder. I can call her in and find out.
Yeah, go on, let's do it.
Wait, I'll just go and ask the question and then I'll come back with an answer.
Sounds good,
with
me. You know, Tom was there live. You may as well, just get from the horse's mouth.
Absolutely.
She said, very nice, and then she said, the smell.
Wow, okay.
Oh.
That's been what we've got. But I think that's because I've been shifting onto a mostly vegetable diet, and it's come with complications.
Yeah, it does.
So that's embarrassing that that's come out in this way.
Happy birthday.
But I thought I've got to be honest.
Absolutely. I appreciate your candor.
I can't lie.
No. Right, should we crack on and solve some of our listeners' beefs?
I hope so.
Yeah, let's.
Parry.
Hello.
Do this one first.
Yes, here we go. Oh, God, this feels like a potential classic, actually.
Oh, really? Oh, already?
Well,
great.
Has this come up before? I don't know, but it feels like it's a big one. Ramekin disagreement beef.
Oh. Okay. Mm.
From James via beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com. I think we're all sensing this could go straight into the top five.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're witnessing history, guys. Dear Beef Brothers, sisters, and gender non-specific beef siblings. My partner and I do not yet live together. However, between home working and COVID lockdowns, we've managed to spend almost 2 years in one another's company, staying at one or another of our houses. Later this year, we are planning to move in together properly. We're both pretty easygoing and willing to accommodate each other's personal interests, e.g. her plant obsession, my comics collecting. However, there is one issue upon which we cannot find a compromise. The fate of upmarket dessert ramekins. Mm-hmm. My view is that once the dessert has been eaten, the ramekin should be disposed of. I used to work in a museum. I've seen firsthand how much pottery has been produced and discarded throughout all human civilization, and I don't think we're the generation to change that.
Wow. Firstly, can we just say, would you like Joss to come and work in that museum? You've got a great catchphrase.
Do you want to buy a shard of a ramekin? My partner, however, believes that the ramekins are both beautiful and useful and therefore fall within the Marie Kondo guidelines for home retention. I have two ramekins, one glass, one ceramic, and that's all I've ever needed. She has a literal rainbow of ceramic ones, and the pile grows with every meal deal, though I rarely see them used for anything more sophisticated than decanting snacks into. I mean, he's made that sound very sophisticated with the word decanting.
Yeah, that is sophisticated. Yeah. Decanting.
Brackets. And one time, ineffectually propping up a swing ball set that was on uneven ground.
Let's use something glass, shall we? How can that backfire?
Let's have the world's gentlest game of swing ball. My question is, which of us is correct? Are they disposable or useful to have? I want this settled before we move in together so that it doesn't end up driving a wedge between us. Beef Brothers, you are my only hope for gaining clarity. Thanks, James.
It's a classic. Tom, you weren't wrong.
Yeah.
It's pure. An absolute middle-class classic.
This feels like the reason we set up this podcast. It feels like it was for this.
Finally pays off.
We've been working our way round to goo.
It's arrived.
Yeah. Joss, where do you stand? Do you enjoy a goo?
I'm very pro ramekin,
yeah.
And I took it. I had this exact row with a housemate a few years ago because I would always keep the goo ramekins, and she would always say we need to dispose of them. And then I because of exactly what I was saying about going to a grandparent's house and getting too sentimental about objects, I thought because I knew how much she hated ramekins, I kept obsessively acquiring ramekins because I thought it was a fun way to kind of just have a row in the flat and kind of irritate people. And then went round my grandparents' house and sort of liberated. They had about 30 ramekins, I think, round them. I don't know if that's a generational thing, because I don't think they're... I never used them,
no.
But they seem to have a ton of them. So I went round and I think my uncle was quite confused and thought it was like a grief thing that I had to get every single ramekin and keep hold of it. But all I wanted to do was fill a cupboard with them so that my housemate would open it and get cross. And I think in the end they all went in the bin, which I don't feel great about. I think they all got thrown out. But I'm very much pro ramekin.
Yeah.
I think they're good.
We should talk about the life hack. I'm sure some of you know this already, but the goo ramekin and the Pringles lid fit perfectly together.
Oh.
So
what?
They're not designed that, you know, I don't think the companies are the same. I know, happy to blow minds.
You can't just dole that out to us like it's just a casual thing you've
just
known
did.
For years and kept
just
to yourself.
Just did, mate.
Tom, there's every chance I've told you this four or five times in our 25-year friendship and we just neither of us remember.
I was super but,
what does that enable you to do? You can put a lid on stuff.
It means that, you know, if for example, you want a nice way to keep your spare buttons... Or, your washers or your screws that look kind of appealing, and are easy to see what's inside them because it's glass.
I genuinely thought you were going to say spare butter then.
Any spare butter you've got?
It's like spare butter's an interesting...
You know, after you finish churning, Tom, I churn, I hand it out to the village, and there's always a little bit left over. That, you know, yeah, I make some toast,
absolutely.
But there's a bit of spare butter. I put it in a goo ramekin, stick a Pringles lid on the top, and that goes in the freezer for a rainy day. Yeah, I think just spare crap, which I guess is another thing, isn't it? You know, do you need
all
that spare
crap? Well, I've got a real
crap?
Seed issue going on at the moment, and I could store seed in it, couldn't I?
You could store your seed in it, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm kind of dying there on that. Come on, boys. Seed. Come on.
you popping that in the freezer as well, Tom, for a rainy day.
If I die, love, just check the bottom row of the freezer. There's a few ramekins, goo ramekins in there with a Pringle
it's
lid.
It's classy,
on.
Though. It's a nice way to store them, to be fair. It makes it less gross. People will go, oh, that's nice. That's pretty
that's
nice.
He
nice.
Left a bit of himself behind.
That's
nice.
Yeah.
That's nice, actually.
That's a bit of history right there. It really is.
Yeah.
Because I was going to say, my big issue with the ramekins is they stack badly.
They do. Yeah, that's
like,
true.
They're slip-sliding all like the top shelf of my lower cupboard, the right side of it is dominated by these ramekins. Do you know what I mean? Like,
and thank you for giving us the specifics of where that is. The top shelf of the lower.
I want you all to picture this. Because it's not a pier. It's not like, it's not a head height I can see. Yeah. Like, it's down. Yeah, yeah.
It's lower cupboard, top shelf off
right,
to the right.
Right. Yeah,
okay,
right.
Yeah. Right. And, of course... To the left is everything you own in a box, right? Yeah.
But I you know, it takes it kind of infects a cupboard almost. There's chaos in that side of the cupboard. There's Tupperware all over the shop.
I think part of the problem is you never really need more than about four of them. So by the time you've bought two of these goo puddings, you're sort of set. But then every time you continue to buy goo puddings, you acquire more and more of them. So there should be an option to like get a goo pudding from a tap and bring your own ramekin,
like a Mr.
and
Whippy.
Do it in that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you don't have to acquire more and more ramekins every time you want to buy goo.
That's a great idea.
Because you can do that with like you can refill your washing up bottles and just buy washing up liquid from the tap.
Yeah,
they should do that with goo.
Yes, this is exactly.
I think that'd solve it.
Where are you putting that goo tap though? Because it's going to have to be.
Yeah, that's
secure, isn't it? You're going to need a security guard on that tap because. That's
yeah,
gonna be
right.
Harry's latched himself to the goo tap again.
Happy birthday.
He's filling up like Mr. Creosote.
I mean, give me just 5 minutes on the goo tap and bloody hell.
Well, when it's your birthday, Tom, I think, you know, I'm sure if you ask nicely.
Yeah, you could treat yourself.
Like, is the goo tap gonna be in the supermarket? Because those,
I guess it would have to be, they couldn't be in every shop. It's presumably going to be expensive. It would have to be, they'd have to kind of compete.
Could be.
Or you'd have like a type in, find your local
Could be like a vending machine.
It would tell you, there's one in, you know, it would be like your Hermes store.
Vending machine on the corner.
Could it be like, could it be like the, you know, the goo man comes round, you know, on a little kind of rickshaw cycling round. He's the goo man. And he rings a little bell, and you go, "Oh, the goo man's arrived!" And all, you know, everyone runs.
Bring out your ramekin!
Bring out your ramekin!
It's the goo man. We, I was in a pub on Friday night, and a guy came round selling.
Tell us the breeze.
Yeah. came round, you know, selling seafood out of a basket.
Oh,
old school. But imagine if...
Like, yeah, like...
What kind of seafood? Like
yeah,
proper
like...
Ankles and that kind of stuff. Horrible whelks and shit.
Horrible whelks.
Want to buy some horrible whelks?
Some crayfish. We got very excited. Oh, my mate bought two extra ones. And then also was like, and one for yourself? For the guy who was selling it. And he was like, oh, that's very kind, but I don't want one.
These are disgusting. I know where these have been.
You tipped him a whelk.
Who was he?
I don't know.
It was his job. He wasn't just like. Oh, okay.
I'm so sorry. My daughter's having a meltdown upstairs. I'm just going to have to nip off for a second, but I will be back momentarily. Well, hang on a sec.
No.
Make sure you come back with information on what kind of a housemate you are.
I'll ask her. Yeah.
It's all that talk of the goo man. It did start to sound a bit horror genre. didn't it? You'd say, like, go to sleep or the goo man's coming round. The goo man.
The goo man.
Be one of those trailers that starts quite childish with like a nursery rhyme or something and then gradually gets more horrible as it goes on.
How's your dinner, mummy? Oh, I'm not very good with horror.
They're all like that. It's exactly like that.
Like, I'm thinking Plinky Planky on the piano, and it's like, oh, finish your dessert, darling. And they, oh, it's tasty. And then, like, it flickers.
Oh,
and
this is
like,
scary.
Discordant tone on the piano, and then, like, chocolate sauce is coming out of someone's eyes. And then back to, ding, ding, finish your goo. No! Ramekins. And, like, Mr. Goo's got, like, ramekins for feet, so you can hear him, like, tip-tapping down the stairs.
Oh,
like,
yeah, clipping, clopping.
Like goos.
That makes him quite easy to escape from, or, like, you know he's coming.
Yeah, you know he's coming, but that's what makes it scary. It makes him less effective as an ambusher.
When you hear the sort of clumsy clattering of the goo man coming down the stairs.
He's slipping, sliding around.
You know you've got to run.
I wish you had a proper carpeted house. Yeah, and that's how they protect themselves from the goo man. They put hundreds and thousands down on the floor. So they can
marbles.
They can hear the crunch.
It's just Home Alone.
Crunch. Yeah, it's just Home Alone, actually. once again, it's just Home Alone. Clarky, what's your attitude towards ramekins? Because I sense you'd be the kind of guy to have plenty.
Well, I'll tell you, Tom, in my upper cupboard.
Here we go. Thank
on you. The on the top left shelf.
Oh yeah, where you are.
Yeah. We stopped buying goo desserts, but we still have like I think the goo ramekins have followed us around three different properties now.
Can we ask is it a boycott? Is it a political decision? Is it
is that a moral
is it a health
thing?
Reason?
Just, like
just fell out of love with it?
Yeah, yeah. They're quite a lot of money for what they are, really.
How much are they? I've not bought one in a bit. like a fiver.
I bought one very...
Yeah, around that.
No, I bought one recently. Because I bought one 2 days ago, actually, because they were on sale. And they were £2.50 reduced from £3.20.
Oh, okay.
That's
for
good.
For two ramekins, let alone that if you put the dessert aside.
You'd pay that just for the...
Oh, Tom, you shouldn't do that.
I regret doing
that. It really defeated the object.
Spoon the pudding out onto the supermarket floor and go, I just want the ramekins, actually. It's a good price.
If I was goo, that would be one of my advertising... It'd be like, Happy Christmas, Mom. And it'd be like, oh, thank you, love. Two ramekins. And then there'd be like a little bit of... Just like chocolate
Tom,
on it.
Tom, sorry, it's Home Alone again. Sorry, you've done Home Alone again.
Yeah, sorry. I'd be like, I made my goo dessert disappear. and then he's in the mirror and he puts goo dessert on his face and it really stings.
Yeah, it really stings.
Yeah, okay.
Surely they can agree between them an optimum number of ramekins and then not buy more and agree to not throw out that many, but then if they buy more goo puddings they've got a pre-arranged now we've got 12, we said we'd have 10, chuck those two in the recycling.
10 ramekins though, I mean,
10 is a lot.
What the thing is, what do you put in a fucking ramekin?
I will say this, if they stopped calling them ramekins and started calling them jars, because you don't, no one hoards their Dolmio jars. Do you know what I mean? Like.
Hey, that's a good point, actually.
No one goes, oh, you're not going to chuck away that jar, are you? It's like, yeah, it's a fucking jar. I finished it. Wait, that passata jar. Yeah, it's going in the bin. So it's like, if you just stop calling the reason we fear throwing them out is because they're ramekins.
Yeah,
and what we all think
name.
Is posh people have these, and now I've got one.
Yeah.
Who do I think I am to throw out a ramekin? You know what I mean?
But if it was called a wrapper, then you'd just go, oh, I might need that wrapper at one point. You can't. You'll just get rid of it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you know, I don't keep my Marmite jars.
I think you've cracked it, Paris.
So I think just start calling them jars.
So we're landing on just getting rid of them.
I think...
Get rid of all of them.
Well, I think it's a happy combo of yours, agree on a...
Yeah, create a Gouta.
No.
Agree on a number. Then build a Gouta.
Agree on a number. And start calling them jars, and it'll make it much easier.
Yeah.
You go, look, we'll keep four of your jars, your short jars, whatever you want to call them. And that way, then, it's the ramekins that we need to get rid of. Like, what, as with most things, language is the problem.
Yeah, I think that clears it up.
Lovely.
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
We solved the beef in Crosby's absence.
It was efficient, actually.
Mm. Let's keep going, and then hopefully we'll have wrapped them all up by the time he gets back. Oh, no, here he comes. Oh, okay, yes. Thank you, Clarkie. Well, that's your beef solved as well. So that's the end of the episode. Well done,
great.
Everyone. That's great.
Yeah, that's
well
been
done.
Really great.
Great work,
really
guys.
Enjoyed it.
Great
four
for having
really
me.
Solid beef solved, actually.
Yeah, well, you know what? I'm sad to have missed it, but glad we brought it in on time for the first time ever. So, turns out I was the one keeping things, from running like clockwork. Where are you guys?
We've just solved the beef.
We solved the beef.
You've just solved it. Great. Okay.
Do you want to know? Well, do you want to know how, or do you want to listen back? And
you can
out?
Listen to the pod.
You know what? I can't wait to listen.
There you go.
Can't wait to listen to the pod now. Really exciting. Don't no spoilers.
We have to incentivize each other to listen to our own podcast, Giles, just so you know.
Those precious three extra listens, we need them.
Take us up to a nice round five.
Well, if Giles listens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably listen.
Beef from the sorting out your beef!
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Matthew, Tom and Ben. Me and my boyfriend like doing virtual film nights. We must have done around 7 or 8, and every single one of these times, I have selected the movie. I feel it would be appropriate to allow my boyfriend to pick the film the next time we do one, but there is one stumbling block that we have. His favourite actor of all time is Adam Sandler, who I loathe. So the dispute that needs settling is, should my boyfriend be allowed to select the film despite the actor-based issue? Regards, Louis.
Guys.
So that's
it. It's another top five beef. I can't believe this. Ramekins and Sandler. We knew this day was going to come. I cannot believe they both arrived in the same episode.
Yeah, it's a biggie.
You know what? I'm sad to have missed so much of it. It's such a good episode. What an episode to not be able to do the whole thing.
That beef you missed while you were away was actually the Israel-Palestine conflict as well, actually. We just whipped through it.
To be honest, I'm happy I missed that one, quite frankly. I think that might have been quite a good one for me to bow out on, yeah. Well, I look forward to you all getting cancelled.
Sandler.
So, Joss. Sandler. Where do you Sandler on Sandler?
I can empathise. I don't like Adam Sandler, but then I watched. Have you seen the Mayorovitz stories?
Oh no, I haven't.
It's I can't remember the guy's name. Baumbach? Is it?
Yes. Noah Baumbach. Yeah.
It's fantastic, and Adam Sandler's really good in it. I think he's one of those actors who. Because the funny thing about him is, it's not that just sometimes he makes a good decision and is in a bad film, but he's still bad. Like when he's in a good film, he becomes quite good.
Yeah. Oh, he becomes.
He's only bad fantastic. In his bad films, but that's 99% of them.
I'm a Sandler apologist. Oh. But if you want to go like here, this is the quick fix.
Yeah.
There are a handful of fantastic like dramas that he's done.
Mr. Deeds.
Of course, start with Mr. Deeds. Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
You don't
film.
Mess with the Zohan. You've got to start with that. Start with the classics.
Click.
Yeah. Although I cried at the end of Cliff.
Did you?
I cried at the start.
It was a waste of my life. Yeah. No, I enjoyed Click. But let's not get onto that. Okay. There's like Punch Drunk Love, which is a Paul Thomas Anderson movie. You know, like which I imagine would be. Like
hang on. Sorry to interject here, but isn't the issue here you're going to give him control? And if he's an Adam Sandler fan, you've got a feeling. Like, is there going to be an issue in this relationship if you go, you can choose only one of the, like, is there an issue there? Like, do you know what I mean?
No, I'm saying he should pick them for himself. I'm not saying, you know, you can both appease the boyfriend and enjoy Adam Sandler. It's a win-win for Louis.
If he says, okay, you can choose the film, but only if you choose one of these good Adam Sandler, then effectively he's not saying you
can choose the film. I don't think that. You're absolutely right. I don't think
he's a big Adam Sandler fan. He's going to come in with Happy Gilmore or something. He's wading straight in with Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely terrific. But that isn't going to, you know... You know, you can't just go, oh, yeah, okay, your choice, but I'm going to... That's the issue for me, do you know what I mean?
It's a tricky one. If you've chosen seven or eight films because you're just worried that if you've chosen seven, boyfriend is going to choose...
David Fincher night.
Great film. The only thing to be improved, the inclusion of Adam Sandler playing one of his... His goofy people with learning difficulties. I feel like you have to relinquish a little bit of control.
Isn't part of getting into a relationship with someone is learning to tolerate and maybe enjoy the things that they do in order to build a team?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Maybe when you're watching with your boyfriend, you may find a new appreciation for Adam Sandler that you didn't previously have. You know, I used to find art galleries really boring. I went out with a girl who loved going to art galleries and I didn't end up, you know, like I didn't have a new appreciation for art galleries. I was like, oh, I don't really enjoy going to art galleries. And I tried, but it didn't happen. And then it probably wasn't the right person for me.
what point are you making here?
What? So now you're saying...
I really thought that was going somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then that didn't work.
That didn't work out. We split up. It was terrible. And I imagine that's
now
probably
I'm with somebody who's
fate.
Uncultured and as much of a Philistine as I am, and we're very happy.
We never set foot in an art gallery, and it's great. I'm just saying...
You're saying they shouldn't watch... any Adam Sandler.
I'm saying...
I tell you what this comes down to.
You've got to sit down, watch Blended, and if you're still together at the end of it and you enjoyed it, then get married there on the spot.
Kill yourselves. Oh, sorry. I misunderstood what you're saying. But I think the key issue here, you know, we get one of these or two of these every episode where we go, it's not about Adam Sandler. What we're talking about here is trust, right? Because you've decided already in your mind, Louis, this is what he's going to do. Like, for example, you know, if I was having a movie night with Parry, is it Costner or Hanks who's your favourite actor?
Oh,
would you say?
Choose.
It's one of the two, isn't it?
You don't have to.
I know. It's Costner or Hanks. But if we were having a movie night, I wouldn't assume that every time it was going to be Big or Dances with Wolves. I would just go, well, you know, just because he likes that doesn't mean that's all he's going to choose. I think you have to trust him. And if you know what, here's the thing. You can also say, you know, he can say no to your films, you can say no to his films. You know, it should be a discussion. You know, it's a fun discussion to have, isn't it? Sitting down with your partner and going, what are we going to watch tonight? Oh, I don't fancy that. That seems a bit too heavy. Like, you know, that is relationships. That is what a relationship is.
The worst thing that can happen is you watch a bad film and then, you know.
Yeah.
That's just some time that's
sometimes
gone. That's okay.
That's quite fun.
Nothing wrong with that. Yeah.
Also
as well.
Go on.
I was going to say.
It's a virtual movie night, right?
By go on, you meant... Oh, I'm going to talk. Were you saying go on to yourself?
It's a virtual film night, right?
So
you don't even need to watch it. You can just make the right noises and go, wow.
You can zone out. You can stick something...
You can zone out.
Stick something that you want above the screen and just have something else on that you really enjoy. You know, pick your favourite comedy.
Do film faces
and then,
throughout.
And then there you go, you know.
That's a great solution.
Well, that's extending the lie and enjoying the relationship. I go back to my point. If you watch Blended and it's not as good when you're watching it with your boyfriend, then maybe it's, you know...
Maybe it's you in the art gallery.
All on Blended, exactly. That's right.
Should never have happened in the first place. What I want to know is how does a virtual film night work? Do you just agree to start the movie at the same time? Are you sharing screens? How would you do it?
I think you just text at the end and go, that was good.
I reckon you have a Zoom call like this and then you're watching the film in another window.
The film's on over there.
Like, for example, I've got Blended on right now. Just coincidence. I'm half an hour into it. And
that's why Matthew had to run off. If I was starting another film.
But anyway, if I don't enjoy it while I'm watching it talking to you guys, then I'm leaving the group at the end of the film. So, you know, it's the Blended test. Yeah, so look, I think you can either cheat, or I think lean into it, reassess by watching it with someone who loves it. Sometimes that helps.
I think that's fair. Also trust, you know?
Yeah.
Before you say, I know you're going to pick a bad film, that's a bad starting point. Before you say that, say, what are you going to pick? Open up that, you know,
and then
open yourself
say,
up.
That's a bad
and then
film.
Say, there's no fucking way we're watching that Dirty Dozen movie with Rob Schneider in. It can't happen. Whatever that was called. I think beef solved.
Beef from the sorting, now you're beef
solved.
So, have I got a beef for you? Top five?
Yeah, Crosby emailed it to you.
Yeah.
Mum.
Someone sent it to the email address. I sent it to you.
Mum eating beef from David. Ooh. Dear Beef Brothers, my former housemate, brackets mum, is always trying to invite herself over to my house for a meal. I don't have a dining table, and she hates to eat off her lap. She lives 5 minutes down the road. What should I do? Lots of love. David.
Is mum the housemate's name, or is the housemate their mum?
I think, should we assume mum? Should we assume
it's their
mum?
Right.
Yeah. I mean, with this,
right,
it feels like...
So the mum wants... The mum likes to come round for a meal.
The mum's trying to invite herself round for a meal.
But they don't have a table, and she hates to eat off a lap.
Yeah.
Is what we're looking for here, buy a table? I mean, Joss has got a lot of spare wood.
Yeah. They're welcome to. If they want to use like a bit of mirror as the tabletop, I can help them out with that. That's fine.
It's really classy, actually, yeah.
Surely, does the mum not know that there's no table? Like, if the mum's going to have a horrible time eating off her lap, why is she trying to go around?
Well, I think mum here is just reaching out for a
just
bit
being
of,
nice, yeah.
Yeah. Let's hang out.
Let's hang out, yeah.
And also maybe like, come on, mate, cook your mum.
cook your mum's. You know, think back on how many meals your mother must have cooked you. Mm. Cook your mum one meal.
Cook your mum a meal, buddy.
It feels like. I mean, is this an open and shut, closed beef case? Is it just, or what about? You know, why does it have to be? Why not? There's something quite nice. If she's 5 minutes down the road, why not say, tell you what, I'll cook at yours.
Yeah.
That's true.
A fun thing, right?
Yeah.
You know, make it easy on the both of you. Assuming that she has, assuming it's not like a hereditary trait of none of you owning tables. assuming that she's got a table, just take it down the road to hers. Mum living 5 minutes away, a good thing or a bad thing?
It's 10 minutes away from being. I'd prefer 15 is what I'm getting at. I think 5's too close.
I think 15's
the boy.
Do they say walking time or in a car? Because if it's 5 minutes walking, I would say that's much too close.
That's pretty much being in the same house, isn't it?
That's the same house, isn't it? Yeah, and especially in the palace you live in.
Maybe they're very shy. Maybe they were so scared of the idea of moving out. They thought, well, I'll do it in stages. I'll move to the end of the road.
Yeah.
And then... when that's worked out. But then you'd think if that's the case, then they wouldn't be so horrified by the idea of their mum coming to visit. But I don't want to come around.
Unless the mum said, oh, great news, I found a place
yes.
on your road,
yeah.
5 minutes away. We can hang out all the time. And, you know, this person... What was their name?
David.
David has gone, well, this is... Maybe he's moved out for the first time in his life and has finally got his independence.
Mm.
And then, suddenly is stuck sort of feeling like, you know, a mummy's boy again.
Buffet.
Tom.
Buffet.
Stand up and eat, for God's sake.
She doesn't have to eat off her lap. Fucking mum buffet. She wants to come round to the pad. She wants to see the pad. She wants to check her boy's doing okay. Stick on a spread.
Yeah, she doesn't
barbecue,
care what she
eats. Back garden, we're into the spring summer season.
Might
now.
Not have a back garden
if
it's got
no
table.
Yeah,
Huge garden.
maybe it's a tent. Maybe it's got an enormous back garden.
That's why he's only 5 minutes down the road.
Maybe he's a groundsman and he has just a tiny little room, but the rest of Hampton Court to play with.
I'm saying buffet or barbecue. Let's have a meal that needn't be eaten on the lap nor the table.
But hold on. I think a buffet.
Where are you putting the meal?
You need to serve
on the side. He's got surfaces. He just hasn't got.
No, he's got no. No,
you don't know. But what about when it comes to eating it?
He doesn't live in. He lives in a sphere, does he? I was going to say.
He's in a Zorb. He lives in a Zorb. He says, "We forgot to eat the last bit." P.S. I live in a Zorb. Well, in which case, she doesn't have to be 5 minutes away. Just get moving, mate.
He's got to have a shelf. She could eat off the shelf.
He's got surfaces, right?
Yeah, but Tom, my point is with a buffet. You go up to the buffet with your plate.
Yeah.
You pick some items.
Yeah.
And then what happens next?
You eat the items. You've had a buffet before.
Yeah. Hold on.
Buffet's probably more table dependent than any other meal. Buffet's table centric.
Yeah.
You think a buffet needs two tables, really?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you could have a buffet. I think I see Tom's point. I think you have a buffet served on a kitchen sideboard. I mean, that sounds bleak when you say it. Served on a kitchen sideboard and eaten standing up.
Put a bit of music on.
Cuts down the amount of mum time. She's probably in and out in 17 minutes.
Yeah.
Put a bit of music on. Keep it light. Off you go.
You imagine a cold buffet. Are you thinking like just a bit of potato salad? Something like, you know, like a few crudités, and that's it.
Yeah, I'm thinking about like the
get your ramekins out.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Exactly. Serve stuff in there.
The ramekins to use. Hang your ramekins from the ceiling. Like hanging plants.
Like in changing rooms.
Like hanging plants, but with little cooked chipolata sausages on sticks and stuff.
Ooh, that's a great idea for a party.
Yeah, dips. Dips.
What, all the food's hanging from the ceiling.
now I say it out loud. I think it's actually. What I mean is that is a terrible idea for a party.
The hanging buffet.
If you've got dips hanging from the ceiling, everything. The hanging buffet.
The hanging
Babylon.
Buffet of Babylon. Yeah, I'm into it.
Hundreds of individual meatballs. You pluck one off.
Like an art installation.
Oh,
those fucking art installations, man. God, I had to get out of there. I tell you.
Yeah. Listen, it was a toxic relationship. You're better off out of it. Time you were dating Tracy Emin. I think actually, what about this for a party? You hang skewers from the ceiling.
Hold on.
Yeah, you hang skewers from the ceiling, and you know you can if you fancy a little bit nibble of a bit of meat, just go over to one skewer, nibble it off. Fancy a bit of halloumi, you nibble that bit off as well. I think it's certainly a conversation point, especially if it's just you and your mum at the party. It's certainly.
Yeah, it's a party of two.
It looked like you're going to kill. Is he trying to kill?
Like, no, they're just.
Indiana
they have to be like
Jones.
Big metal full of spears. They can just be like wooden skewers.
Just come out looking like Hellraiser.
She took the wrong angle on some halloumi.
Have a.
Pierced her nose by
accident. A horror themed buffet, basically. That's what we're saying, isn't
it? Here we go, Tom. Talk us through the horror film.
Mike Myers sandwiches. I'm not very good with horror. Scream on toast.
Mike Myers.
I tell you what, it's not Home Alone. So you've definitely made progress. Mike Myers sandwiches.
Nightmare on Crisp Street. I don't know. We can workshop all that stuff.
Yeah. Well,
this is like a really unsuccessful hashtag game. I think we're playing now, isn't it? Replace one word in a horror movie with a buffet themed item. Please do send them in at Happy Tweet on Twitter. We'll inevitably retweet them all. You know, The Hills Have Scotch Egg. You know, we'll just knock yourselves out, guys. We'll, you know, we're desperate for content. So I feel like we've come close to solving this, but not quite. What are we saying? If it's not by a table, I mean, are we saying just cook at hers or serve it off the sideboard? What are we going with?
Get yourself a folding table.
I'm going buffet or barbie.
A barbecue's great because you can eat that standing up outside. Lovely. Have a barbecue. Have a barbecue for two with your mum, David. That's our advice to you. Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Now, Joz, do you have a beef you'd like us to solve?
Yeah, I've got something I can get your advice on for sure.
Great. Okay, let's hear it.
Before the place I was in, now before I moved in with my girlfriend, I lived in a house share with a guy that I didn't get on with. It sort of became unbearable, and I kind of exploded the situation. We rowed a lot, and then I ran away and couldn't go back. I had to go back for an important ramekin that I'd left behind. I had to go back and get one of them.
Of course, yeah.
And while I was there, it was near to Christmas, and I noticed he'd put up. I'd also left behind an old plastic Christmas tree that he used to make fun of because he said plastic Christmas trees were bad and rubbish. But he was now using it as his Christmas tree and put it up with decorations on it. Oof. And I didn't feel like I could take it because it would mean either dismantling an entire Christmas tree quite slowly while he was waiting for me to get out, or running away with all his decorations.
Yeah,
I think it's still there, and I don't know what to do about it.
It's a bold move, isn't it, nicking a Christmas tree?
Yeah. I mean, it belonged to another friend of mine, actually, so I would have got it back to her.
But, reclaiming a Christmas tree.
Yeah, so it wouldn't quite have been theft, but it would have been petty, considering I was the one that stormed out in the first place.
And it was his belief that the Christmas tree belonged to the property?
I guess, yeah, like, maybe he'd forgotten where it came from and just decided it had become kind of communal Christmas tree. But the whole time that I'd been there, he'd always gone, that's a terrible Christmas tree. I can't believe you want to put up that Christmas tree. And then he went out and bought a real one and just left it in the corner of the kitchen. So quite passive-aggressively. Because he believed that was a superior Christmas tree.
Do you ever read a tweet and you haven't really looked at who it's by, and you think it's by one person, you go, oh, it's a load of rubbish. And then you realise it's actually by a different person. They've just got very similar little avatars. And you go, oh, actually, no, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Now I realise it's not by that person. I think that's the situation with this Christmas tree.
Are you talking about me and Clarky? You've got quite similar avatars.
Yeah. You both got a picture of Clarky.
Are you fond of the tree?
I'll be honest. I do feel like I've moved on now. So this is, in a way, this is beef that I've mostly kind of already healed from.
Yeah.
But it's there. It kind of rankles every now and again. I think there's a Christmas tree out there that shouldn't be there. I should have got it out of there, and I failed. Yeah. I feel like I let myself down.
I reckon since you don't want to get you don't particularly want to get the tree back, but also, you know, he's done a bad thing. Why don't you use your new superpower? Go round and just fart through the letterbox.
Fart so hard through the letterbox that all the pine needles fall off a plastic tree.
Yeah. It becomes useless too.
Yeah, it wilts like the flower in E.T. That's what you want to have happen. I think it's very rare that our solution is gas the person. But I think in this case...
Brought it on himself.
Yeah.
It holds up.
Could you like deliver a Christmas decoration as an anonymous gift that during the night releases...
Destroys the chemical that destroys the tea.
Yeah, it's not like not as far as arson, but it just gently melts the plastic leaves off the trees or something.
Why don't you put your arson against his letterbox?
Farson through the letterbox. Farson. This is what I would do: is buy the person whose tree it was a nicer tree.
Yeah, that's a nice idea.
And get yourself a good tree. And then
just move on. That person
is saddled with that less good tree.
Yeah.
And is also therefore clinging on to also, you know, a much less fun time. And you are both better off without that tree. And then, you know, and then that will free you up mentally to kind of invent this Christmas decoration that releases this gas.
Eventually burn his house down.
Yeah. I think, you know, you'll be free to just
that's the idea.
You'll be more creative, I think, once you're less saddled.
I mean, I think so. You've got to let go of that stuff.
There's two solutions there. I mean, obviously, if you discount Parry's also melt his tree and burn his house down,
yeah.
You've got two very, you know, either attack him or attack the situation with kindness and love.
Yeah.
So it's really up to you, Joz, to decide what kind of a person you are. are you a farting through the letterbox guy, or are you a posting through the letterbox a nice new tree?
Or I think there's no
posting through the letterbox, you'll fuck the tree. It's a bad idea. It's hard not getting into the house without going bed. You know what? I think this year I'm going to go letterbox, not to disturb anyone else in the house. Why has he posted a log through our letterbox and left a big pile of pine needles on the front
Christmas
porch?
Log. Why don't you buy him a DVD of the film Blended?
Oh yeah.
Watch it with him and then see how you feel.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I think I'll do both. I think I'll get a new tree and then I'll go and fart through the letterbox as well. I think there's no reason why I can't just sort of embrace the whole range of options.
I can't believe we haven't talked about this, but you could Eugene Tombs it and fit yourself through the letterbox.
Who's Eugene Tombs?
Oh mate, it's an X-Files character we sometimes talk about.
Oh, he's the stretchy one.
He's the stretchy guy.
I tell you what, he'd be good if we were casting Goo Man.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, he'd be great.
And at the end of the day, he could fit into one ramekin. Yeah. Just pop himself in the freezer.
The reason he can fit through such small spaces is because he's 80% ganache. And 20% panache. Am I right?
Beef solved.
Beef from the sorting out your beef.
Beef solved.
Joss, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. It's been lovely.
What a total pleasure it's been to have you on.
Real treat.
Tell us where people can see your stuff, hear your stuff. When is your Radio 4? Is it on at the moment? Is it coming
out
soon?
It's out in October, I think. It's in the autumn. It's like a two-part sitcom thing that's coming out about me going into people's dreams. That's called The Dream Factory, and that's out in October.
Amazing.
And then on Radio 4. And in August, I'm doing a show up in Edinburgh, which hopefully then will be going to other places people can watch it. But if they follow Joss Norris online or josnorris.co.uk, then they can find out everything about that and any other things I might be doing.
Amazing. Well worth a follow. You do some very funny stuff on Twitter.
Oh, thanks. That's very kind.
Well, Joss, thank you for... Did you take a bow?
No, I dropped my
you
pen.
You dropped a pen. I thought you took a pen. Oh, I'm really, you know...
It would have been too much. It wouldn't have been.
Yeah, it was a good performance. But I don't know, maybe people taking a bow at the end of the podcast, but enjoyed it nevertheless.
I'll do it from
Joss, thanks so much for coming on the show.
No, thank you.
See you very soon.
See you soon.
See you, Joss. Thanks so much.
Bye, buddy. Thanks, mate.
Beer from the sorting out your beef.
Well, there we go. Happy days.
Happy days.
Right. Well, we're going to get gone. But before we do, if you enjoy these emails... We're going to get gone. But before we do, if you enjoy these podcasts, then feel free to recommend them to your friends, your family, people you think might enjoy them. Stick a review on iTunes. I know that feels, you know, so 6 years ago, but it still helps.
Yeah, it does help. It helps new people find our podcast.
Exactly.
Also, as well, if you think you've got a beef that, I mean, you know, are you going to beat the ramekin beef?
Oh, it's pure.
I mean, I know I was only there for half of it.
You left to get rid of your ramekins, didn't you?
Yeah, could you hear? That's why I put myself on mute on the Zoom. There was a load of clinking of glass.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was a lot. But yeah, I mean, if you've got something as good as that, then send it in today. beefbrotherspodcast@gmail.com.
We'll
do
out.
Get
we'll
in touch. We'd love to hear from you.
We've
all had a nice time. All right, folks, we'll see you very soon.
Today's episode was produced by producer Gwyn Davies.
It was indeed, yeah. Get well soon, Emma Corsham.
Get well soon, Corsham team. Cheers, everyone.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.